Well, well, I barely see grace. No, I'm just kidding. I see grace every day, and I know you do as well. Welcome to the first service that was almost canceled. How many of you had issues with the electricity? Some of you did?
You did?
Yeah, yeah. The church was out. I got phone calls from John and texts from Joe, and the service, we're not sure we're going to be able to do it, but God worked things out, so hopefully people will know. We can still get here. How many did everyone have to come around back? No one came around front. There was one person who said they. Yeah, that's our drummer Stevie said made it through there. So anyhow, well, we're glad you're here, and we know that God is here, and we're going to be worshiping Him, and we will be blessed. So let's do what we always do to begin our service. Stand up with me. Now, you might not have very many people to greet in your pew, so feel free to walk around and say hello to everyone. Pastor John had something he wanted to share with you. It is your turn.
All right. I'm on the magic mic right here. Where is where Jonathan went? He's right. All right. There he is. Here we go. Disciple Now is coming up in less than 2 weeks. There's a blue form in your folder. Right now we have two houses lined up. We need a couple of co-hosts if you'd like to help with that. Also food helpers. We have some sponsors that have already stepped up as well. But it's getting exciting. I guess the most important thing is to get the students signed up. So we're going to have a house for the guys, house for the girls. Kevin, have you ever hosted for Disciple Now?
I have, yes.
Would you like to do it this year?
Libby, what do you think? Libby says yes, so I'm all in.
Hey, how about that? Now, if it's that easy, folks, you can do. We're going to have a great group. I can't tell you if it's boys or girls yet because it's a secret. But we'll find out on Thursday night the 16th. Kevin, back to you.
You sure it's a secret? I was told. Never mind. It is okay.
You know, okay. I know you know.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I hope that you'll be a part of that in any way possible. Pray. We talk about prayer a lot and how prayer really is the means by which all of us can participate in God's work and can be a part of God continuing to show His love and His power to people. So whether you're involved physically or any other way, be praying for the Disciple Now that's forthcoming. I want to share a verse with you as we start this morning out of the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. It says this, "Every good gift bestowed, every perfect gift received comes to us from above, courtesy of the Father of lights. He is consistent. He won't change his mind or play tricks in the shadows." I think it's a verse we need to know this morning, that God never changes. He doesn't play tricks on us. And as we worship him today, I hope that we'll understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because of that, we come to worship him once again this morning. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I want to thank you that you are the one who bestows gifts to us, upon us, through us, to give to others. Thank you, Father, that you don't change, that you are the same forever. And so we can feel very secure in who you are and in your grace. Bless us as we worship you today, Father. Use this time as a way that we can give you and offer you our praise and our thanksgiving and our commitment to continue to love you and to follow you. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Probably we all have different answers. Maybe some of the things would overlap, but it's a real simple question. What makes you smile? What makes you smile? What makes you have some pleasure and makes you just feel good inside? Maybe it's one of the following things. Maybe finding yourself on a beach in the Bahamas while you rest in a hammock, eating fresh fruit, bananas, strawberries, kiwi, peaches, pineapples, and it's the beach is just making that noise. Maybe that makes you smile. Maybe being hugged by your husband, by your wife, your niece, your nephew, grandparent, daughter. Maybe that makes you smile. Maybe a puppy makes you smile. How about puppy breath? Anybody like puppy breath? Four of us are really weird, but we like, makes us smile. Maybe going to the park or celebrating a birthday or anniversary looking at old pictures, maybe time spent holding hands with your significant other. Maybe us guys, we take a pleasure and we smile when we get to just demolish something. I mean, we just put it out of its misery. Maybe you take pleasure in and smile when you're listening to good music. I guess good music is defined differently for all of us. Maybe if you're like me, whatever your good music is, you like to sing it. And sing it loud in the car, in the shower, wherever. You just like, and that makes you smile. Maybe the breeze smell that you get right before it starts raining. And that makes you smile. Maybe rocking on your front porch swing, vacationing in a favorite place, vanilla ice cream on a hot brownie. What makes you smile? Have you ever wondered what makes God smile? I want us to think about that today. What makes God smile? If you received a bulletin on the inside, you should have an outline in there. Take it out. If you have a pen, have it ready. You can fill some things in as we go. We're going to answer the question, what makes God smile? In Psalm 149, verse 4, it says this, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. God takes pleasure in us as his children. And if you here who are parents, maybe grandparents, an aunt or an uncle who have ever watched children play, you take a sense of pleasure in that. And that's true of our Heavenly Father as well. When we bring God pleasure, he smiles, he's pleased with us. And there's a word which God uses that describes when we bring pleasure to him. This word is often misunderstood. It is the word worship. Now, let me give you a definition of worship. There are tons out there, but let me give you a working definition for today. Worship is living a life pleasing to God. That doesn't mean you earn your salvation by pleasing God. We're all saved by grace. But once we're saved, we live a life of worship as we live a life pleasing to God. Now, we got to entertain the word worship for a moment here. What is worship? Maybe some words that describe worship for you are things like church or music or mass, a ritual, a ceremony, prayer, communion. But worship is not a ritual. Worship is not a ceremony. Both ritual and ceremony can be used as a part of worship, but it's not worship in and of itself. In fact, worship isn't necessarily even music. Sorry, Jason. Where'd he go? He knew I was going to say that, didn't want to get his feelings hurt. People say sometimes, well, you know, worship is music, and a lot of people use worship as a synonym for music. Like at our church, we do the worship first, and then we have the teaching. Like the singing is worship, but the teaching isn't. That's not a good concept. Sometimes I heard people say, I like the fast praise songs, but I really enjoy the worship songs better. As though fast or slow is worship or not worship. That's not true at all either. Worship has nothing to do with the style or volume or the speed of a song. Not a bit. Look what Romans 12:1 says, where Paul speaks this. Because of God's great mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service, look, and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. God says worship is not what you do with your lips, it's what you do with your life. You can sing all the songs in the world, you can listen to all the sermons in the world, but if you never offer your life as a gift to God, you haven't worshiped. Look what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. He says, figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. So what brings pleasure to God? What makes God smile? If it's my purpose to bring pleasure to God, how do I do that? How do I do that once I'm his child? Well, I want you to look at what the Bible says about a person named Noah. Noah, you know, the ark guy. He gives us an example of what it means to make God smile. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Noah was a pleasure to the Lord. Can we substitute? Maybe we would hope we could substitute our name for Noah. Your name. We were a pleasure to the Lord. Now, what made Noah become a pleasure to God? What did Noah do in his life, with his life, that he became a pleasure to God, that he could make God smile? Well, I want to share with you four ways this morning that Noah made God smile and apply those things to our lives as well. Number one, we give God pleasure, we make God smile when we love him above all else. When we love God above all else, above everything else, when we love God supremely, that brings God pleasure. That makes God smile. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, the prophet says this, "I don't want your sacrifice, I want your love. I don't want your offerings, I want you to know me." Hosea is given a message by God, and this is what God is saying through Hosea. He's saying, hey, I don't need your offerings. I don't need your service. I'm grateful when you do it, but that's not what I mean. I take pleasure when you know me. God wants us to know him. He wants us to love him intimately. And if you miss that, you're missing a big point of life. God wants that relationship with us that isn't just when we become his child, but that it's ongoing every day. I know it sounds amazing, folks, but out of all the universe and all the people of the world that God could have made, he made you. He took time to make you just like you are. And he wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to have a relationship with everyone, right? Wouldn't we agree with that? Think about that, though, to yourself. God wants to have a relationship with everybody. He wants to have a relationship with me. I matter to God. Why? Because he said I do. Because he wants to have a relationship with me. He loves me and he wants me to love him back. Now, this is the first reason why God chose Noah, because Noah had a relationship with God when nobody else did. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. It says, Noah consistently followed God's will and enjoyed a close what? Relationship with him. All Noah's life, he loved God above everything else. God has revealed his plan to us in more detail. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him, look, great pleasure. It made God smile. God said, I want a family, and you and I are made to be a part of that family. Not just for 50, 60, 80, 100 years that we live here. We're made to be a part of God's family for the rest of all eternity. It never ends. And God looks at you and he says, I want you more than anything else. I want you in this relationship with me now. I want you to realize how special you are. You're my son, you're my daughter. I want to have that relationship with you. And it brings God pleasure when we say, God, I want it with you too. If you've ever had kids, you've probably gone through an experience like this. When I had my kids, my boys, they were small. I got a thrill when I came home from work. And I'd open the door, and they'd be right there waiting for me. As a parent, that ever happened to you? I hope so. Maybe even now as a grandparent, aunt, or uncle, that can happen to you. You don't even have to have candy in your pockets, right? This is before they understood what money could really buy. And they're just waiting there. And you come in, and all of a sudden, they wrap their arms around your legs. If they're tall enough, around your waist. And it brings you what? Pleasure. And outwardly, maybe inwardly, probably both, your whole being is smiling. Now, my adult kids, we still hug and all that, but now I get that from the grands, right? The grandkids come running up, yeah! You don't even have to have anything for them. That's called love. And it thrills us when they show us their love like that. Now think about this, folks. Your Heavenly Father is the same way about you. When you come to God and say, God, I'm coming to you because you made me and I love you and I just want you to know I'm grateful. God, I want to spend this time with you. It thrills God's heart when we just say, God, I just want to spend this time with you. And we enter in to his presence. God feels that same way. He takes pleasure. And folks, when we come to God like that and we just say, God, I love you. I want to spend this time with you. It thrills the heart of God. It brings God pleasure. And that makes God smile. You want to make God smile? You spend time with him. Come to him one time without asking for anything. Sometimes it's just a matter of meditation and you're in God's presence and you just want to be there. You don't have to say anything sometimes. And you just be with God and listen. God smiles when we love him above all else. Secondly, we bring God pleasure when we trust him completely. Psalm 147, verse 11 says this. The Lord takes pleasure in those who honor him and trust in his constant love. It's in trusting God that we bring him pleasure. It's what we do to make God smile. Folks, Noah trusted God completely. He had incredible faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, where there's this roll call of people in the Bible who had incredible faith, Noah is listed there. And in Hebrews 11, 7, it says this, by faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see. And he acted on something he was told. And his act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteousness of the believing world. And as a result, Noah became intimate with God. You know the story. God told Noah to build the ark before the first raindrop ever hit the ground. But Noah didn't argue. He didn't say, but God, I don't think you understand things around here. There's nowhere to put, there's no rain. What are you going to do here? But Noah didn't allow that to help him or make him walk away from God. Noah trusted God. Okay, God, you're God and I'm not, and I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you. How many of you trust God like that? Sometimes, I don't know. Sometimes things just aren't working out for me, for my family, maybe for our church, and I'm like, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And the way my mind works, maybe some of you are like this, my mind wants to figure it out. My mind wants to see the beginning, the middle, and the end. I want to know where it came from and where it's going to. And I want to know all the steps in between. That's just how my brain works. And I think that makes God smile. He's like, you're crazy, Kevin. That ain't how I work. I'm not smiling at you, Kevin. I'm laughing at you. What makes God smile is when we trust him on the occasions when we don't have a clue about how things are going to go. We trust God and we say, God, you know better than I do. You know what's best for my life. I'm going to trust you. It means you trust God to answer your prayers in his timing, in his way, not yours. You trust God to figure out how to handle the impossible things that are going on in your life. And you trust God to do the impossible things that look overwhelming to you. You trust him. Psalm 50, verse 14 says this. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. Sometimes we don't trust God because we don't realize how big he is. It's so easy to forget how great and how powerful, how huge God is. And what we tend to do is we try to shrink God down to a level that we can understand and comprehend. You remember that movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Remember that? What we do is we say, hey, I want to shrink God to where I can really fully grasp who he is and what he's doing. We whittle God down. I don't think that makes God smile. What makes God smile is when we trust him and we say, God, I don't get it, but I trust you. After all, folks, we don't have more energy or more strength. We don't have more brain power or wisdom than God does. And if we want to please God, if we want to smile, make God smile on our lives, we've got to allow God to be as great and as big as he really is in our everyday life and in the life of this church. We're going to be talking about some renovations coming up in a little while, and all the implications are for that, for our church. And when I look at the end result, it's going to be great. But between where we are and getting there, a little complicated. Because people are going to have different ideas. Well, I think we should have had this, or I wanted this color. I don't really. That alone can drive somebody nuts. And then we think, hey, we can do whatever God wants, and we can. And then we say, God, you pay for it. And God says, I will, through you. And we go, wait a minute, just coming off Christmas here, God. We need to say, God, you know what? I'm going to trust you completely. Grace Point Church, you know what? Even sometimes when our faith is small and tiny, I'm going to trust God completely. Remember what Jesus said? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Mustard seed could fit right in between that space between my fingers. If you have that tiny of faith, you can move mountains. Not because our faith is big, but because the one in the faith we have, Jesus, we put our faith in him because he's big. He has the power and the ability to do it. Sometimes we limit God because of our lack of faith. But God smiles supremely when we love him above all else and when we trust him completely. What do you need to trust God in right now? What's going on in your life that you need to say, God, I've been worried about this. I've been thinking about it. I've been planning. I've tried to be wise. I've sought the help and counsel of other people. But God, I'm worried about this. Maybe you just need to take a step back and say, God, I've done everything I think you wanted me to do, but now I'm trusting in you, in your ways, in your timing. What do you need to trust in God completely for? Number three, we give pleasure to God when we love him above all else, we trust him completely, and we give God pleasure when we obey him wholeheartedly. When we obey him wholeheartedly. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says this. We please God by what we do and not only by what we believe. Now, James isn't talking here about earning your way to salvation or earning your way to heaven. That's all about God's grace. Let me ask you a question. How many of you earned your birth? If you can remember, before you were born, you had nothing to say about it, right? God knew, but you didn't have a clue. None of us earned our birth. So you can't claim credit for your birth. Would you agree with that? You really had nothing to do with it. God took care of that. But once you're born into a family, were there ways that the family, inside of that family, that you could bring pleasure to your parents? Absolutely. One of those might be in doing what your folks ask you to do. Would that bring pleasure to your parents? Sure. Absolutely. Does it bring pleasure to your boss when you do what he or she says? Absolutely. Obedience brings pleasure to God. God doesn't want us as his children just to give him lip service. I love you, Lord. He wants obedience as well. That's evidence of your love to God, and it brings God pleasure. Again, Noah's a great example of this. He had wholehearted obedience. Look what it says again in Hebrews 11, where they're talking about many people who had great faith, and they're talking about Noah here, and it says, Noah obeyed, and he built a boat. In Genesis 6:22, it says of Noah that he did everything exactly as God commanded him. In other words, when God said, I want you to build the ark, Noah didn't just build any boat. He built the boat God wanted to the exact specifications that God gave him. Noah obeyed God wholeheartedly. He didn't hold back. I can't imagine what it was like for Noah to build a boat. We live in a day and time where we have all kinds of resources. We have machines, we have tools, we have electricity, we have all of that. And there's no way I can imagine, with all we have, plans and people who are experts, that I could just sit down and build a boat. Well, I could, but I wouldn't go out in it. Bible says that God obeyed, or Noah obeyed God wholeheartedly. That means, first of all, that Noah did it without any reservations. He held nothing back. No questions. He didn't say, God, you said to do it, and I just have some reservations. No, he said, God, you said it, and I'll do it. He had no idea what the implications of that was going to be. Wholehearted obedience to God means we say yes, and we do it right away when God wants us to. Noah didn't delay. He didn't say, I'll think about it. He didn't say, I'll do it later. Any parent knows that delayed obedience is disobedience, right? Son, I need you to come down here and do this now. 20 minutes later, I'll come. That's disobedience. God has told us to do all kinds of things, and sometimes we just sit back and say, well, God, I'm thinking about it. God, when things work out, I'll do it. God, I'll become involved when other things work out in my life. God says, no, I want you to do it now, instantly, completely, right away. And when we do that, wholeheartedly, we bring God pleasure. When we become enthusiastic and joyful about the things that God wants us to do, he smiles at us. It's the attitude of David in Psalm 119, verse 33. I love this verse. He's talking to God. He says, just tell me what to do, God. I'll do it. As long as I live, I will live wholeheartedly for you, and I will obey what you want me to obey. Wholeheartedly. Just tell me, Lord, and I'll do it. Here I am. Tell me, and I'll get busy. Now, folks, if you say as a result of the service, what we're talking about here today, from this day forward, the number one thing in my life that I want is for God to smile upon me, to be pleased with who I am and what I'm doing for Him. If you make that commitment, then it's got to include wholehearted obedience. And that kind of commitment is not always going to be easy. There will be times in your life where wholehearted obedience means doing something that's inconvenient, doing something that's unpopular, doing something that may go against people. And it may cost you. Becoming wholehearted obedient to God doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. But if you want the smile of God on your life, you obey Him wholeheartedly. One way we can do that is through reading the Bible. We do this, we present a program, we list the verses and the chapters and the bulletin every week. If you just read those daily, you'll read through the whole Bible an entire year. We're doing it again this year, but we're doing it differently. You got your bulletins? Take your bulletins out. I don't have a bulletin up here. I have sermon notes, but inside your bulletin, does it show? Jason, let me see that real quick. Thanks. Oh, there it is. Good, good, good. Bible readings for the week. Now, notice something differently here. Typically, we've done this through Genesis to Revelation. We've done it in the order that the Bible says in our Bibles, right? We're doing it different this year. Notice we're going to ask you to start as of January 5th in Job. What we're doing this year is reading the Bible through chronologically, when things actually happened in the Bible. So it's not going to be Genesis, Exodus, all the way through Matthew, Mark. It's going to be in Job, the things in Job described in Job happened way early. They just weren't written about until later. Does that make sense? You say, Pastor, I'm so confused. Fine. Be confused all you want, but read it this way this year. I think you'll enjoy it. Does that make sense? Going to be wholehearted about it? Oh, none of you. Two, three. You're good, Jason. Jason, you going to be wholehearted about that?
Yes.
Yes, there we go. Could you sing that in the key of D? This may be maybe you've never read the Bible through. In your whole life, you've never read it through that you can remember. Do it this year. Do it with the guide we give you. Now, quite frankly, I really don't care if you stick with this guide or not. I'd rather you just read it through in a way that you want to and that you'll know you'll do it. But if you don't have a guide or you want something new, use the one we're putting out for you. Does that make sense? Did you get an email about this? Some of you had already got an email about this. If you didn't get an email about this, you need to give us your email address because we sent an email out to the whole church. If you didn't get it, put it on your Connect card. Here's my email address. Here's my new email address, whatever. We'll put you on the list and you'll be getting things when we send them out. Does that make sense? Number four, we also give God pleasure when we fulfill His purpose. When we fulfill His purposes. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, after the flood is over, the ark has already landed, and they're getting out of the boat. The Bible says, then God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God says, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to go have relationships with your husband, your wife. I want you to have kids. I want you to raise your family. Do the things I created human beings to do. And that means be human. You do realize God created us to be just like we are. Well, maybe with a better heart and a better mind. But He made us as humans. This is what God wanted us to be. He's given each of us certain abilities, certain capacities. And when we use those and obey Him, He smiles on us. He takes pleasure in watching us be human and do human stuff. Now, this is really important. Because a lot of times people think that the only time God is smiling on their life is when they're doing something that we consider religious. For instance, right now in the middle of our worship, you think God is pleased because you're here sitting, listening, singing, worshiping, looking at the verses, and we're trying to ask God to fulfill us spiritually, and we want to worship God, and we want God to give us new vision and new trust, and all of that's great. And we know right now God's smiling on us. But sometimes we think when we leave here and we go get something to eat somewhere, that like it's not the same. But it is. God smiles on you after church when you get in your car and you go home. Or you get in your car and you want to go grab something to eat. Maybe there's a ton of food places right up and down here on Folly Road. And you want to go in there and get something to eat. Like, does La Hacienda has been replaced, hasn't it? This new Costa Mesa or something like that, whatever it is. You can go up to Chico Rios, whatever, eat that cheap imitation Mexican food. And God takes pleasure in that. And while you're doing that and you're sitting and you're talking, you're enjoying your Diet Coke, your tea, whatever, listen to me. God smiles on you as much then and there as he does when you're washing clothes and folding them, as he does when you're trying to fix your car, as he does when you're driving your 10, 15, 20 miles back to work. He's smiling on you all the time because that's how he created us, to live life the way we live it as humans. And that makes God smile. He takes pleasure in watching us do what he created us to do as humans. It's been decades ago, but did any of you ever see the movie Chariots of Fire? It's a really good movie. If you haven't watched it and you like some old movies, it's really good. There's a gentleman in the movie named Eric Little, and they made this movie about Eric Little. He was a runner. And one of the things, one short sentence he said in that, because he ran, he was a long-distance runner, and he said, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." Now, you can substitute that with anything else, whether it has to do with exercise. When I go to the basketball court, I feel God's pleasure. Maybe you like to do arrange flowers, and you could say, "Hey, when I arrange flowers, I feel God's pleasure." You can fill anything in that blank. When I do this, I feel God's pleasure. And he smiles on me because that's what he created for me to be and to do and to be a part of. And there can be many things in your life that God looks down at you and he smiles on you. Folks, any and everything in life as you're walking with God can be done as an act of worship, can be done in a way that you bring God glory. It can be done in a way that you bring God's pleasure upon yourself. And if you just say, "God, I want to live for your pleasure. God, I'm doing my housework. I'm washing these dishes. I'm good at what I do. I can fix meals. I can help people. And I'm doing it," and God smiles at you. You're doing it, and God gives you his pleasure. Anything. Am I making my point here? I feel like I need to go on and on. When you walk outside of these doors and you get in your car and you drive home, you go wherever you do something this evening, anything and everything you do as you're being obedient to God, it brings God pleasure. You do not have to be in this building for that to happen. You can play golf for God's pleasure. Just don't use your bowling ball words on the golf course, right? You can close a deal for God's pleasure. God says, "I gave you this ability. You're obedient. I love your attitude, and I'm smiling on you." Look at Psalm 37, verse 23. "The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives." Folks, God delights in every detail of your life. And whenever you use a talent or an ability that God gave you, you do it for God's pleasure. It's an act of worship, and he smiles on you. I did something with a friend on New Year's Day. I did it. Libby and I went up to Anderson, and we visited two of my sons up there and grandkids. And one of them has an in-ground pool. And before we came back, it wasn't January 1st yet, but before we came back, we decided to do the polar bear plunge in his in-ground pool, and it was cold. I think the water temperature was about 48, and we didn't just like dip in and out. We started in the deep end, so we had to jump in and swim all the way to the, and then get out, and Libby was laughing at me. Matter of fact, it's on video. You want to see it?
Yeah.
No. Oh, thanks.
Give it to me. I'll put it up.
You have to, you'll have to get with me privately and pay me a little money. I'll show it. Brent beat me out of the pool, and I was trying to get out there, and I began to grab the handle of the steps, and I was going, oh, my God, what else was I saying? There was, oh, yeah, I couldn't breathe. I was like, I couldn't get my breath. Well, if that wasn't enough, I went with a good friend down to Folly Beach on January 1st. Did anybody else do the polar bear plunge? Bunch of sissies, my gosh. And we ran into the ocean. I think that water temp there was about 52, 53. We ran out and had to get way, way out so you could get under the water and come on back. And I believe God was smiling at us and taking pleasure in that, or smiling at us, I'm not sure which. But everyday life, as you walk with God, God smiles upon you as you're following him and loving him and you're acting human like God wants us to do. Look at Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship, a different kind of sacrifice that takes place in the kitchen and the workplace, look, and on the streets. I love that verse. He takes pleasure, he smiles in acts of worship. That can happen anywhere, kitchen, workplace, on the streets. One reason I think our world is in such a mess is because people are more interested in pleasing themselves than in pleasing the God who created them. And they're all interested in what they want, not in what God wants. Look at John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the crisis we're in. God's light streamed onto the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness because they were really not interested in pleasing God. Yet God, the Bible tells us, he's on the lookout. He's looking for modern-day Noahs, 21st century Noahs. He's looking for people who would say, I want to live my life for God's pleasure. In Psalm 14, verse 2, look what it says there. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are anyone who are wise who want to please God. Will you be that person? Will you be that person upon whom God looks? You want to please God? You want to live your life for God's smile and his pleasure? I'm going to live my life with a lifestyle of worship, not just a once a week worship, but a lifestyle that worships God. If you do that, folks, you'll have no idea the blessings that God is going to bring your way. You have no idea how God's going to use you to advance his kingdom. And you're thinking, I don't know, Kevin, where am I going to get the power to do that? What if I fail? What if I make this commitment to God and then go back on it? What if I blow it? What if? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes you won't have the power. Sometimes you will blow it. Sometimes you'll just say, I'm tired of doing this. That'll happen. But God's already thought of that too. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Everything that goes into a life pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The one who invited us to God is Jesus Christ. It's the greatest invitation anybody could ever get. God says, yes, I want you to please me, and I'll provide the power for you to please me. It comes through my son, Jesus Christ, who died but came back to life. He was resurrected. And to have a relationship with him will make us become the person that God wants us to be and to live the way he wants us to live. I invite you to become a 21st century Noah. I invite you to live your life for the pleasure of God and allow God to smile upon you as we love him above all else, as we trust him completely, as we obey him wholeheartedly, and as we fulfill his purposes. Do these things, and then just sit back and watch God smile on you. I'll bet you nickel God has smiled on you more times than you even realize. Because sometimes we get caught up in works, a works theology that says, man, when I make a mistake, it's all over between me and God. He's going to punish me all week long. Well, he may discipline you, but it's not over between you and God. The Bible says he forgives us and moves on through us to live the life that God wants us to live. And I want us to be a church, because we're made up of people whose lives bring pleasure to God and make God smile. I want us to be the church. When people come here, they can see and feel and sense and know that God smiles upon them. All right? Let's pray together. God, we're always blessed by you and through you. We're blessed because of you. And Father, we want to make sure that as we live our lives, we recognize and realize that you smile upon us. That because of how we live, we bring pleasure to you. We know we are your children. And because we are your children, we want to live a life that says, God, here, I want to please you. I want to make you smile. And God, you'll give us the grace, the power, the ability to do that. Remind us, Lord, that that can come in simple ways, outside of the walls of church, inside of the car, at home, in the store, taking a walk, sitting at our desk paying bills. All of the way we live can bring pleasure to you and can make you smile as we love you completely, as we trust you completely, as we obey you completely, and as we fulfill your purpose for our lives completely. The Father, I pray you'll have your time during this response where we have a chance to say, okay, God, I need to shore up a couple things here. Maybe I need to get off my own back and just allow you to smile upon me and accept those blessings. Whatever the response is we need to make, guide us through this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And now, make God smile. That's right. Folks, a couple of announcements. Jonathan was reminding me that they have a brand new study kicking off in the men's Bible study. That's on Wednesday nights at 6:30 right here in this building, studying the four books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. You know how you remember that? General Electric Power Company, which we needed today, yes. Also, a disciple now. Can't say that enough. If you'd like to help out, again, there's a blue sheet in there. We would love to have the food helpers. We probably need about 8 food helpers. If you could help us out bringing in some food on Saturday morning or lunch on Saturday. Also, that's going to be the 16th through the 19th, as you see. And then just prayer partners, pray for us. If you're a student that would like to be a part, and co-hosts. Co-hosts are kind of like the helpers for the host family that make it all happen. So there you go. Next Sunday night, we will be meeting. The youth will be meeting. We'll let you know the location on that as well. I think the James Island Outreach is kicking in as well on the 20th. And is that that's a Monday, is that correct? Thursday, the 20th. The 20th is not a Thursday. I do know that. Because Disciple Now finishes on the 19th. That's a Monday. So is it Monday or Thursday? So it'll be a Tuesday or Thursday. All right. So check with Jason. He'll let you know. So, you know, for once I knew what day a date was. I can't believe that. So anyway, well, 30th. Okay, glad we got that correct. Jason knew that. He's going to tell you that in just a second. So January 30th, that's James Island Outreach, a great ministry of our church too. All right, we ready? All right, let's pray and go out and share the word. Get back with us. Let us know if you can help on disciple now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you when we have an opportunity to praise and worship you, to bring you joy and pleasure, to make you smile. Lord, help us as we go through this week to invite others to share the good news, to see that smile grow. We love you. We thank you now. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.
One, two.